circumstances of times in your life when it hurt. And then he said, I want you to put them on just in chronological order. And so there'd be a lot of yellow ones, and there'd be a couple blue ones, and some more yellow ones, and then some blue ones. And it's that idea that we go through these seasons of life when it's good, and then we go through seasons of life when it hurts. And then after we got that all done, we held up this big poster board, and you'd see all the yellow and the blue sprinkled in through there. And one thing that I learned through that entire process was when I looked at the blue sticky notes in the midst of all those yellows, those were the times in which God grew me and stretched me and transformed me. And I could look back and say, I'm thankful for those things because it made me into the person I am today. In James chapter 1, if you don't have to turn there, but this is what he says in chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 about this idea of hurting in our life. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish this work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. In James chapter 1, God is saying, well, trust me, one day you are going to be thankful for the hurting times of life. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter 20, as we look at it, our big spiritual principle this morning is that a tested faith is a trusted faith. When life hurts, when I don't think I can continue on, remember that a tested faith is a trusted faith. That's why James was able to write, I count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, because of ultimately it produces perseverance. It creates in us maturity in our lives. A tested faith is a trusted faith. Now, a little bit of background about what's happened here, because last week we were in Jeremiah chapter 2, and now we've fast-forwarded all the way to Jeremiah chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter 20, this has been about 30 years in the life of Jeremiah, back from when God called him in Jeremiah chapter 1, and there we learned that those that God enlists, he enables. And we come here 30 years later, and now he has been proclaiming to the people that they're about ready to go into captivity, that they have disobeyed God long enough that now God is going to take them out of the promised land and take them into captivity. And so for 30 years, he's been preaching this message over and over and over again. For 30 years, he's been preaching the message and he's not had one convert. For 30 years, he's been preaching this message and not one person has repented. For 30 years, he's been preaching the same gloomy message that the day is coming in which God is going to take us out of the land. For 30 years. And Jeremiah gets to this point in Jeremiah chapter 20 in which his life just hurts. He doesn't know if he can go on. In chapter 18, what's happened there is he shares a message with the people about the idea of a potter and the clay. And he tells the story about the potter. He's forming the clay, and he has the right that if he doesn't like the way the vessel looks, that he can just destroy it and start over again. And in verse 5 of chapter 18, he says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. So he gives them that prophecy that God has the right to just start over again if he would like. And then we get to chapter 19, and there he declares a message about a broken vessel. And he said, God has the right to break you in order to remold you and refashion you into the people he desires. In verse 10 of chapter 19, he says, he gives Jeremiah this illustration. He said, then break the jar while those who go with you are watching. And say to them, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I will smash this nation and this city just as this potter's jar is smashed and cannot be repaired. They will bury the dead in Topheth until there is no more room. God says, I'm going to break you. And then in chapter 20, he's already given these two prophecies, and a priest in the land doesn't like what he hears. And so what he does is he has Jeremiah arrested, and the Bible says that he puts him in the stocks, his head, his arms, his feet, and there he is in the stocks all night. And it's probably in a very conspicuous place so that everybody's passing by. They can see this, and people are ridiculing him and making fun of him and besmirching his character and all kinds of different things. And then the next morning, he's released from the stocks. And what Jeremiah does in the beginning of verse 7 is he offers a prayer to God. And listen to Jeremiah's words. You can hear the hurt in his life. He said, "Oh Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause." Here you can hear these words in Jeremiah, and basically what he's doing, he's shouting out to God, and he said, "God, life hurts." And he begins and he shares just three ways in his life that life hurts, and I think it's very applicable to us today. Three ways in which sometimes life hurts. The first thing that Jeremiah says is that sometimes life hurts because there's disappointment. He begins in verse 7, "O Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived." Those are some very harsh words. But what he's saying to God, he's saying, "God, you persuaded me to do something that maybe now that I'm looking back on it, I didn't really want to do." And you and I experience disappointments in our life. And this is oftentimes where disappointment comes in, is when reality doesn't quite meet our expectations. Right? We have these expectations, and then reality sets in, and that gap between reality and my expectations is the amount of my disappointment. The closer reality is to my expectations, the less disappointment I have. The greater the gap between my expectations and reality, the greater my disappointment. And that's what Jeremiah says here. "God, you persuaded me into this, and now reality is not meeting up to my expectations." Now, some people in the world will tell you, just lower your expectations and then you'll be okay. But that's not the case. All of us in our lives are going to face disappointments. Right? I expected my children to turn out this way, but they turned out this way. And there's disappointment. I expected my spouse to act like this, and they've acted like this, and there's disappointment. I expected my health to turn out like this, and it's turned out like this, and there's disappointment. I expected to get this grade in my class, but I got this grade, and there's disappointment. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter anything about us. All of us are going to face these disappointments in our life. And when disappointment sets in, life starts to hurt. It's not what I expected. Reality hasn't quite lived up to my expectations. And that's what Jeremiah says. "Oh Lord, you deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed." He said, "God, there wasn't anything I could do. You came and you persuaded me to do this, and you overpowered me into this, and here I am 30 years into it. And last night I was just put in the stocks, and I wake up today, and there's no converts, nobody's changing, and it hurts." Not only just from disappointment, but also sometimes life hurts when there's despair. When there's despair, listen to what he says here. "I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Notice what he says there. He makes blanket statements. Everyone is against me. Every single second of the day, I face hardship and difficulty. And listen, that's how you can diagnose when you're to the point of despair, is when you make those blanket statements, right? It's always like this. It never changes. Everyone seems to be against me. Those are statements of made by somebody in despair when you're hanging on right at the end of the rope and you're like, I can't hold on any longer because it's too hard, it's too difficult, and life hurts because it feels like everything in the world is against me. And sometimes it feels, notice what I'm saying, it feels like even God himself is distant. It feels like he doesn't care. It feels like he's not answering. It's not the truth, but that's the way it feels. And we get to that point of despair, and when we get to that point, life hurts. Not only just from disappointment and despair, but also life hurts sometimes because of disloyalty. If you jump down to verse 10, he says this, I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Report him. Let's report him. He says, I can hear the whispering. And listen, sometimes in our life, we can handle the criticism and the insults that are given to us by those who are not really close to us. We can handle that sometimes. But listen to what Jeremiah says. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived, then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. What he's saying, God, I'm experiencing disloyalty. These people that I thought were close to me, these people that I thought cared about me, they're the ones that are whispering behind my back. They're the ones that are seeking to take me down. They're the ones who are hoping that I slip. And listen, you and I are going to have times in our life that we're going to feel this way, that we're going to have people that we thought were friends that are going to be disloyal. And when that happens, life hurts. And this is where Jeremiah is. His life hurts. He says, God, I'm experiencing this disappointment. I'm at the point of despair. Even my friends have turned their back on me. What do I do? God tells him a trusted faith, or a tested faith, is a trusted faith. And Jeremiah then begins to tell us these things that you and I can trust in when life hurts. And listen, a lot of people say, God's testing me to see what kind of faith I have. If you've said that, I don't mean any disrespect when I say these words, but that's just foolish, okay? Because listen, God is God. He already knows how you're going to respond, right? Many times I think God has us go through trials and tribulations, not so God can see how we respond, but so that we can see how we can respond in God. And a tested faith is a trusted faith. And the first thing that you and I can trust in when life hurts, we can trust in God's word. We can trust in God's word. He says in verse 9, listen to what he says, but I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name. Jeremiah comes to the point and he rationalizes in his mind. And somebody says, when you rationalize, what you're doing is telling yourself rational lies. Okay? He begins to rationalize in his mind. He says, listen, I'm experiencing all this hardship because I keep telling all the people what God wants me to say. It might be better for me not to say anything. Just to keep my mouth shut, but then listen to what he says. If I speak no more in his name, his word is in me, in my heart like a fire. It's not like a little flickering flame. The word there is literally translated like a forest fire. Those fires that we're witnessing on the West Coast. He said, that's what it's like. He said, when I try to keep God's word to myself, it's like a forest fire that's burning in my heart. A fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I can not. What he's saying, this. He said, even though God's word seems to be the thing that's causing me the most harm, I can trust in it because God is faithful and his words are always faithful. For some of you that are young, you're not going to understand anything that I'm about ready to say, but bear with me. There was a day that there was not cell phones, okay? And I am old enough that I lived in a time in which there was no cell phones. Like, I can't imagine how my parents survived knowing that I was traveling 4 or 5 hours away to college and I didn't have a cell phone, okay? I can't imagine as sending my daughter away to college and not having a cell phone. But we didn't have cell phones. And my wife and I were dating. And we didn't have cell phones, so we couldn't text, we couldn't send the little hearty eye emojis back and forth to each other. We couldn't do those things then, okay? And she lived in St. Louis, Missouri, and I lived in Western Pennsylvania. If you're unfamiliar with the geography, that's a 10-hour drive away from one another. And listen, young people, you're not going to understand this either. Older people will know this. And so we lived in a time, no cell phones, and you had to wait till after 9 o'clock to call long distance. Remember all that? Okay? Because my parents didn't want me to, they didn't want to pay the extra fees for long distance. So we had to wait till after 9 o'clock to talk to each other on the telephone. And so we didn't have cell phones. We couldn't really talk every single day. And so what would happen is we would do this crazy thing where we would actually write letters back and forth to each other. You know, you got a pen and a piece of paper, you got a stamp and an envelope, and you send it in the mail. And I remember during this time very vividly, I would go to the mailbox every single day, and I would look in there because I was just hoping that that day I would get a letter from Beth. And that day that I would get it, I would tear the envelope open, and I would read through that letter, and I would read through it again, and I would hold on to it, and I would read it again, because in there, she would profess her love to me, she would declare how much she missed me, and all of those things. And what I was doing was I was holding on to her words. Because there, in her words, I found what was in her heart. When you and I are going through difficult times, the worst thing we can do is step away from God's word. He says, read my word, because in his word, throughout the pages of scripture, we see the love that God has for us. In his word, we can read about the promises that God has for us. In his word, he declares his truth to us, no matter where we find ourselves in life. So when we have a tested faith, we have a trusted faith, because there we find we can trust God's word. Secondly, not only that, but he says also when we have a tested faith, we can trust God's presence. He's just talked in these verses about how hard it's been in his life. And then in verse 11, he says, but, you know it's going to get good now. He said, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Even though I am disillusioned, even though I am in despair, even though my friends have turned their back on me, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fall and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. What he's saying is, when my life hurts, I know I can trust God's presence. And it harkens back to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, when God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go, and don't worry, I am with you to deliver you. You can trust in the presence of God. You've all read the Footprints in the Sand poem about how he's going through life and the difficulties in life. He only sees the one set of footprints, and there he realizes that was when God was carrying him. We can trust in the fact that whatever we are going through today, God has not abandoned us. It may feel like that, but the truth is he has not abandoned us. And he walks with us and carries us even through the difficulties of life. When I was in high school, there was this group of brothers and cousins called the Pizer Boys, okay? And the Pizers did not like me for some reason. I don't know why. But they didn't like me, and every single day they wanted to beat me up. Okay? And so there were times that I wouldn't go to a certain bathroom after lunch because I knew the Pizer boys would be there waiting. There were times that I would leave the cafeteria and I would walk next to the teacher because I knew the Pizer boys were going to beat me up. And there were times that I would just be afraid. I'd be looking over my shoulder just waiting for one of the Pizer boys to punch me in the back of the head because they didn't like me. They wanted to beat me up. And so I just was afraid of what they might do to me. But there were certain times of the day in which I wasn't afraid. Because I have an older brother that is currently 6'2", 325 pounds. He is a big guy, okay? And he's always been a big guy. And there were times that I could walk down the hall, and I would walk down the hall of school with tremendous confidence because my big brother was walking right behind me. And I didn't care if I saw a Pizer boy then. And I would even say things to the Pizer boys that if my big brother wasn't behind me, that I wouldn't have said. There was great confidence because of his presence. And whatever it is that you're facing today, whatever it is that you may face next week, next month, next year, whatever it is that you have faced already, wherever you are in that continuum, whatever it is that you face, you can walk with confidence because God is with you. His presence. We can trust his presence. And then number three, not only can we trust his word, not only can we trust his presence, but thirdly, we can trust his purpose. A tested faith is a trusted faith because I can trust his purpose. In verse 12, O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous, that word examine means to test by fire. It was done to make gold more valuable or precious stones. They would burn away all the impurities and it would refine it. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe, examine, or look at the heart and the mind. Let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. What Jeremiah is saying, he's saying, God, you see everything, you know everything, and I am just turning my cause over to you. I'm just giving it to you because your purpose is greater than my plans. I'm just going to trust that whatever it is that you're doing it for a purpose. And that purpose is greater than any of my plans. And I'm going to trust you even when life hurts. Because a tested faith is a trusted faith. And then notice what happens here at the end. He gets to this point in which he's trusting God. And he says in verse 13, sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Now, notice what doesn't happen here. We don't find Jeremiah wasn't released from all the hardships that he was facing. He still was going to have to wake up the next morning and face the same people. He's going to wake up the next morning, face the same situations. Life was still going to hurt. But he said, even when life hurts, my response is that I am going to praise God. And you saw it on the sign when you came in this morning. When you are down, look up. When life hurts so bad and you are down, what he says is look up and praise God. Somebody said what you should do when life hurts so bad, what you should do, and you just don't know what else to do, you don't know where to turn, trust God, and then sit down and write out all the praises that you have, starting from A all the way to Z. For each letter of the alphabet, write down a praise that you can praise God for. Because God is good, even when life hurts, because a tested faith is a trusted faith. William Penn said these words. He said, the secret of joy is to count your blessings instead of adding up your troubles. Count your blessings instead of adding up your troubles. That's why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, God says there, he says, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. He said, give thanks to God in every circumstance. What he says there is when you are down, look up and praise God, because you have discovered that a tested faith is a trusted faith. As cross-country season rolled on in high school, there were times that we would run on a course, and we would walk the course before we'd run it, and the coach would say, all right, here is a big hill. And he said, you've been trained to run this hill. And I remember when I ran cross country in high school, when we came to the hills in the course, in the race, I looked forward to them. Because on the hills is usually when I would pass other runners. And I would come to the hill, and I would be ready to run up that hill, and I would run up that hill with confidence. I would run up that hill with energy. I would run up that hill passing everybody else because my coach had trained me to run the hills. A tested faith is a trusted faith. Whatever it is that you're going through today is preparing you for the next obstacle that is coming in life. And for that reason, I can praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the times in which you test our faith, we discover those are the times that we can trust you most. God, I pray for everyone in this room, wherever they are in that continuum. Maybe they're about ready to enter difficulties. Maybe they are in a point in which life hurts. Maybe they've just come out of a point in which life hurts. God, I pray that they would trust your word, trust your presence, trust your purposes in their life, so that in turn they can look up when they are down and praise you for all that you have done. God, I pray that you would just watch over us as we go our separate ways today. May we continue to look to you, continue to see you glorified and magnified in all that we say and do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.